Hey, what's up, guys? You guys ready to get verbally assaulted? Just listen, because it's going to be a fun podcast. I got one of my buddies, Jason Brennick, coming on the podcast, and that should be fun to talk about fishing for a little bit. And he fishes a lot of co-angler tournaments, and he's going to give that angle, so it's going to be cool. He's also part of Army Bass Anglers, so please stay tuned and listen to that. He's got a cool story to tell. If you guys want to check out Amazon.com, if you order anything off of Amazon.com, please go to the podcast page, click on the banner, and some of your money that you use doesn't, you don't have to pay any extra, just goes right to us. 4 to 8% of whatever you order, it helps us support the podcast and everything else that costs some money to run, like website fees and podcast fees and URL fees. I don't know what else. There's a lot of fees. There's a lot of stuff to open up things and appeal to the masses. So if you guys would just go to Amazon.com as one of the podcast sponsors, and use our link, and anything you order when you're under that link, we get some money for the podcast. So it's a shameless plug, but that's all it is. So let's see here. I don't have too much else nerd report to talk about. Started rereading Stephen Pressfield's book again, The War of Art. Anytime you guys need a kick in the ass, that is such a great book to read. Let's see here. Yeah, Wisconsin suffered quite a bit of a crazy defeat. Yes, well, the other day. That was one of the worst moments I've ever watched sporting, so don't really want to talk about that. I don't really want to listen to or watch the national championship tonight because I'm too heartbroken to even cheer for anybody, even though I'll probably watch it. But yeah, so I'm going to get I'm not even going to mess around anymore. I'm just going to get Jason on the podcast via Skype. So again, Skype cuts out every once in a while, and it's kind of loopy every now and then, but just bear with it. But yeah, so here's the podcast. Yo.
Hey, how's it going, man?
What's going on, dude? How's life been for you?
Pretty good, man. Just trying to get through this winter and get ready for the bass season.
Yeah, got the new boat all ready to go. I saw you and John have been out there.
Yeah, we got a chance to take it out on Fox River in De Pere by Green Bay and caught some walleyes. It was nice to get it out and get it running, and everything worked great, so I'm excited.
All your buddies out there too?
Yeah.
You guys are whacking. I saw you got some real nice. Did you guys catch any illegals?
No, we didn't get any legals. The biggest one was 27 inches, so
Yeah,
just under
John.
legal.
Yeah, you were catching like 7 6 7 pounders, and they weren't even 28 inches.
Yeah.
It's pretty solid, dude.
Yeah, it was
How's
pretty
the
fun. Good to feel a rod bend.
Hell yeah, dude. It's just winter's just been absolutely brutal. Do you got what do you all do all winter?
Usually, besides sit around and flip my bait casters into cans and practice that kind of stuff in the garage, I try to get out and do some ice fishing, just
Yeah.
stay active and pass the winter.
Yeah. I know you bow hunt, right?
Yeah, I do some bow
That's
hunting in the
not
fall.
really winter, but
Yeah, do
dude, I've been
some.
wanting to getting into hunting for so long, the last couple of years. I just don't have any way to go with.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I mean, it's pretty relaxing. I mean, it's exhilarating. You know that feeling you get before a
Oh,
big
of
bass
course.
tournament?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, you get that same feeling bow hunting, though. It's fun.
Yeah, you spend like just tons of. How much does it cost, like, to start? It's probably quite a bit to start off, right?
It's not too bad. It really depends on what kind of quality you look for. Kind of like, bass setups. You can get an awesome, crazy bow for, $1,500, or
Yeah.
you can get one that works just fine to kill a deer for 300. So depends on which route you want to go.
That's solid, dude. You got any, so yeah. If anybody doesn't know, Jason, you want to just introduce yourself quick?
Yeah, my name's Jason Brennick. I'm from Sussex, Wisconsin. I'm a member of the Army Bass Anglers, as well as Dobbins Rods Pro Staff. And I fish the FLW BFL series here, the Great Lakes Division. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I really want to talk about the Army Bass Anglers because, like, I know of it, and I've met a bunch of people that are on it, but I don't really know exactly like what like I've met you and we've talked a bunch, but never really talked to you about it that much. I kind of want to know like what's the deal with it all about.
Yeah, for sure. Well, so basically, it was founded by Cody Robertson, and he is now a lieutenant colonel in the Army. So he had this vision that he kind of wanted to make this big military team of anglers, and we kind of wanted to build this platform that we could use to kind of help soldiers that are returning home from the war. The last 10, 11 years, we've had a lot of war, and a lot of guys go and come back, and they're dealing with stuff. So this team is kind of built around that concept to support that.
Now, is it just just for, are you enlisted anymore, or do you?
No, I got out in 2011. So okay. The guys on the pro staff, a lot of them are active. Some are reserves. Some, you know, just served honorably and were discharged. So okay. It's kind of a plethora of different things.
Yeah, that's really cool. So like, did you, I don't know, were you stationed, you were like in Texas, right?
Yeah, I was in Texas. I was at Fort Hood and Fort Bliss.
Okay. Okay. But then do you always just like the bat? Did you like contact them or did they contact you, or like how does it all start with everything?
Honestly, it was kind of a weird situation. The base down there, they were holding a tournament, you know, to get yeah. soldiers out and cool. experience bass fishing, you know, in a large tournament for the first time. And so you kind of just throw your name in a hat and they randomly pair you, you know, with these guys that volunteer to take soldiers out.
Cool.
So I threw myself in the hat and I ended up, you know, pulling a guy by the name of Brent Holman, who was one of the, you know, first guys on this team. And he ended up taking me out. And what they did is that team has a lot of sponsors like Oakley, Skeeter.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of different sponsors. So they put together a $1,500 package for me.
Oh, solid.
You know, gave me all this awesome bass stuff, all this, you know, stuff. And I went and fished with this guy, and, you know, he was a great stick. And I'd been fishing all my life, but not much bass.
Right.
And I caught on pretty quick. And anyways, long story short, in the tournament, we ended up catching five keepers, and I boated four of those five.
Oh,
you know, and I'm like, man, this guy's a pro. This dude fishes this big tournaments, and I was able to keep up with him. Well, anyways, about a month later, I got a call from him, and they invited me, you know, to join the team. So it's kind of been history since then. That was in 2010, so I've been on there for, you know, 4 years now.
So cool. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm so happy with that, like, that everybody, like, obviously, you know, this sport has a huge respect for veterans and everything like that, and it's cool to know that, like, just some guy just said, hey, Jason, you want to go fishing? And you got hooked up, and now you're pretty obsessed with everything. And, I mean, I guess,
oh, yeah, where, big
what
time.
Lake was it on?
That was on Belton Lake down around the Austin oh, okay. area.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. It's I saw you fished a lot, like Lake Fork and all that. And I guess Texas is probably a pretty good place to get started.
Yeah, if you're going to get started in the bass fishing the sport, it's definitely a good place. I mean, you know, tons of big bass, awesome lakes to fish. So, yeah, it definitely got me hooked in a hurry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you like, know all the guys on Army Bass? Because I know there's one guy that I know that I fished on, I think he fished on Northern Alabama. His name's Sean Dalrymple. Do you know who he is?
No, actually, honestly, you know, it's a really, really big organization at this point. When I started, it was pretty small, but at this point, I mean,
yeah,
we're up to about, you know, 300 members on the team,
I gotcha.
You know, across 48 states. So
yeah, he was telling us like this, that's so cool that like, it's really expanded that quickly, like in 4 years, pretty, I mean, you said it started like right around the same time you got started up in it. It's sort of,
yeah, what they did is they kind of had, you know, a main pro team that they started, mm-hmm. and then they branched off with a coalition pro team kind of just to spread it across the country.
Okay.
So the original team started back in, you know, 2005, and then they kind of, in 2010 is when they started the coalition team, and then now it's just spread, you know, like wildfire, so.
Yeah, no, it's so cool, and yeah, the guy Sean, he was at, I forget which tournament, it was like, I think it was Lake Louisville's National Championship a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
and he was fishing with, actually, you know what? No, it was the Big Bass Bash on Pick. It was on Pickwick, and I think he fishes North Alabama, so he's right from around there. And he told the story, like, he was a keynote, and he told the story about how this like company from Alabama, it was a boat company, and he was stationed in Iraq, and he was like a frontline guy that was, you know, seeing some crazy stuff every day, and this place sent him. He's never really fished before. But this guy just randomly sent him his platoon or whatever you want to call it, like 300 Ranger hats, and he told the story about how he stuck that under his helmet every day. And
oh, that's pretty
like,
cool.
It was, and he said he never really bass fished before that, and like he just told the story, and he was starting to tear up, and you know he pulled the Ranger hat out, and it was just beat to hell with sand, and you could just tell it was meant so much, and it was just such a small thing that someone did, you know, to get someone hooked. And it's just so good that fishing is like that, other than like a lot of other sports are military central, but this sport really is the outdoor lifestyle really coincides pretty well with what you guys, you know, obviously did. And It's just unbelievable to hear that.
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
I agree. I think it's an awesome organization. I mean, it's kind of odd, you know. I think the sport of fishing is unique in a special way that, you know, a lot of guys that compete in other sports, a lot of times you have hard feelings and there's a lot of animosity right. between players. And I feel that, you know, the tournament fishing sport, you get a lot of camaraderie. You
well,
know,
even I was just about to say that, yeah.
Even yes. though you're competing head to head, you know, you get a lot of respect and, you know, you're always having a good time with, you know, even the people you're competing against.
Oh, of course. And I think why the military is linked so well with it because of the camaraderie and, you know, I've never been in the military before, but I'm going to assume that it's sort of like, you know, with just the guys you're with every single day and you're literally, you know, you're the reason they die or live, you know, that kind of thing. And
right.
it's just, you build that strong trust. And it's the same kind of thing I feel with my fisherman friends, all my buddies and everything. I have such a close link and such a deep respect for that. It's almost, it does really go hand in hand, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. I mean, it's definitely, you know, I think one and the same. You spend enough time with somebody and you share mm-hmm. a common interest, you know, and I think it builds from there. And yeah, fishing is definitely a good platform for that.
Well, yeah, you definitely don't want to lose. You definitely want to win all the tournaments, but you don't feel animosity towards someone that's, especially if you're friends. I mean, if it's some dickhead that like you don't like or something like that
right.
you've never fished against, you know, it's okay to feel animosity towards them. But when you have some guy that you're buddies with, and like if you and John beat me, I don't really care. It's not a big deal.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and it's yeah. just because we're
obviously. Because you like to see your friends do well. I mean, everyone, yeah. you know. Everybody who's had an awesome day in a tournament, you know, that just went out there and everything was on point, everything went how it was supposed to, everyone knows how great that feeling is.
Oh, yeah.
So to see your friends, you know, have that happen and enjoy that, it's cool to see that too.
Well,
so.
And the best thing is, I think, other than the tournament, is after, just hanging around with everybody. That's why, like, I like both, like, the giant tournaments where I don't know everybody. I know a few people, but then I love the club tournament atmosphere, which is like
yep.
what we get in league and on, you know, certain buddy tournaments. And those are just way more fun, I think, sometimes because you can sit there and talk and, you know, well, what you did. And, you know, most people are pretty forthcoming with what they're going to say and, you know,
tell
you guys what you're going to do. And like, I mean, even on the water, it's cool to be like, you know, run into your friend and do whatever. It's such a great sport, especially for camaraderie and everything like that.
Well, yeah, and you get like last year, and you know, in the league we were fishing, you know, John and I pulled up right on you in a spot that we also fished, you know, and there's, you know, nobody got mad, we just fished around each other and, you know, talked and had a good time, you know, that's what it's all about, you know, right. in my opinion, that's what the sport's about.
Well, when you add money into it, it's one thing, but, you know, money doesn't matter at all when it comes to, like, if I'm fishing a big tournament against you, and it's $200 entry fee, I'm not going to treat you any different because of the money's on the line. Like, we're mutually respect each other, so it's not like, I don't think you're going to step on my toes just for the money, and I'm not going to step on your toes just for the money. Like, and
right.
it's nice to know that there's people out there like that. And you can see it up in the ranks. Like, even, like, you know, tournament guys in the fishing for $100,000 every week, those guys do the same thing. And it just shows how much respect each person has for each other, for the most part. I mean, obviously, you're going to have some people that aren't, but...
Right, yeah, you're going to have some, you know, in every situation that, you know, somebody's not going to be that way with the respect. But, I agree. I think for the most part, even in the, you know, the elites in the FLW series, the tour series, that those guys, you know, they respect each other. And, you know, even guys that, you know, are fishing good water and they realize that one of their teammates has a chance to win, you know, they let them get a crack at it. So it's right. pretty cool, man. It's very unique, I think.
Oh, yeah. It's a totally unique sport. It's so hard to explain to people. Like, that's why I started kind of doing this thing, is just trying to get, like, different people's perspective and... talking about we're generally all talking about the same thing, and, you know, to try and describe this to outside people this is nice to get this outlet. I mean, we haven't even talked once about the technical side of fishing, you know, it's
right.
cool that we have this outlet to do that, and I don't know, it's fun,
yeah, it's always fun talking fishing, man, and it's cool because it's cool to get somebody else's perspective too, you know, like,
oh yeah,
everyone has their own techniques and their own ways that they learned, and, you know, mm-hmm. To sit there and chat about it, I mean, like I told you before, I can sit around and, you know, BS fishing forever.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, definitely. And you mentioned FLW. I wanted to get, what I really wanted you to talk about a lot is, because we've pretty much had, I think I've had only college anglers on here, well, or former college anglers, and mainly talking about what they do and their decisions and stuff like that. But you fish, well, last year you went on an absolute tear in the FLWs as a co-angler. And I just kind of wanted to get that perspective of that side of fishing, because I've never even fished a co-angler tournament, and I have kind of different opinions on it, but I kind of wanted to see like how you approach it, because obviously you can't make decisions, and that's one of the major, I mean, you can, but not like water, like where to go and anything like that. So it's a total different game, because that decision-making, you know, variable, taken out of it is really strange, and I kind of want to just get your perspective on your view of, or just let's sit here and start talking about co-anglers and stuff, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was, I started fishing actually in the FLW Bass Fishing League in 2012, that year, and I'd been a co-angler before. It is difficult. When I became co-angler, I was new to the sport, so I didn't find it as difficult. You know, I was kind of following the lead and learning, and so those things were, it was kind of cool. I was like, oh, this is awesome. I get a one-on-one with a guy and kind of get to fish with him and learn stuff. But as I progressed into the BFLs, I feel I was, you know, a much better bass angler.
Yeah.
And so that's where the challenge, you know, kind of laid, is like you said, those decisions that as a boater, you know, that like, which I am, you know, every day and in smaller tournaments. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a challenge, because you're like, oh, well, I know I'd be using this technique right now, or I'd go fish this area, you know, so it definitely becomes frustrating. I guess you just have to tell yourself it is what it is, mm-hmm. and you have to fish based off of that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the mind trick with that. You got to just take it for what it is, and you can't fight that, because if you do, you're probably going to end up failing.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I mean, I know my buddy Casey, he was out, and some guy pulled up Main River Channel and pulled the spinning rod out and started throwing DD-22s. And it's like, well, that's the tough luck you draw. And he had no control over, the guy wasn't very good. The guy had the money to do it. So you got to just sit back and be like, okay, well, this is what I'm faced with. Maybe I'll put a big jig on and drag it on the bottom. Hopefully, you know what I mean? It's not
right.
You don't have any. It's really, you're forced into bad situations sometimes, which is kind of, I've never fished as a co-angler. I fished as a non-boater before, but that's a little different with my friends. But, you know, I grew up fishing and figuring everything out pretty much on my own. I even hesitate to read articles, because I think a lot of times, if you figure something out, that's so much stronger than if you just read about it or something like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I mean, I also understand the point, and I like reading articles, and I kind of like getting views, but ultimately, it's what I figure out is what I'm best at, you know, little nuances that I find out. But so,
yeah, and I think when it comes to reading articles, I think, you know, those are either very specifically written for certain bodies of water, you know, down south, such as Gunnersville or Pickwick or Lake Fork, you know, or, you know, Amstead. Those are very specific articles, or they're very broad spectrum articles, you know. So I think for the new anglers, it's kind of cool for them to read those things, but then you have to understand that you have to go out there yourself and tweak and, you know, learn to apply those things to your own bodies of water.
Right.
You know, you got to make it special for you.
So, okay. So yeah, me and my buddies all talked about how co-anglers, it's really hard to like get on fire as far as like get on a roll winning tournaments. And you took what, second, first and tied, or what was it? You went on like,
I took third, first, and then first in the super tournament, the last tournament of the year. So a third and two firsts in a row.
That's really, really difficult to do. I mean, so what was your approach to those tournaments? Did you like, did you base off of what you were doing based off of what the boater was doing? Or did you just kind of wing it and do your own thing because you had to do whatever you had to do?
To some degree, you kind of have to base it off what they're doing as far as, you know, the speed they're fishing. You know, if they're fishing slow, you got to slow it down, speed it up. But you know, I found a certain bait that I really had a lot of luck with, and it was throwing it on a shaky head, and I had a lot of luck throwing, you know, a green pumpkin plastic on a shaky head last season, and I think a lot of guys shy away from that bait because, you know, they kind of look at it as a small fish bait, but I had the ability, you know, to go behind boaters and pick off fish, you know, with that bait. And once I realized that I had the success with that, I just continued to throw it in every situation I could possibly throw it. I mean, you know, I was throwing it around grass, undercut banks, I mean, around wood. I was throwing it in areas that you typically wouldn't even throw it. And, you know, it's pretty tough as a coin guard to even get a limit in a tournament.
That's exactly
And in all three of those tournaments, I actually outweighed my boaters.
That's awesome.
So,
I mean, yeah.
So it was pretty cool.
It's definitely something to that where, like, you just downsize or you slow down or you throw something that they're not throwing just because you get good at – it's got to be finesse fishing because – some guy up there is beating up a spinner bank with a spinner, but he's going to miss a bunch of fish, you know, and you got just dragging something small behind the boat. You know, even if you get 5-14 inches, it's still going to put you at least in the money or at least running.
Yeah. Right. In a decent position. And
obviously,
I think
depending on the lake,
you know, there's a lot of technique to coal angling, especially if you do it for a little while, you kind of learn those things and you think it would be common sense, but you know, a lot of guys overlook it, but small things like, you know, waiting for your angles. You know, as you're coming down a shoreline and, you know, there's some cover coming up that you want to hit, you need to wait for the right angle to hit it and, you know, be able to keep your bait in the strike zone for as long as possible. Stuff like that, you know, guys overlook.
Well, especially,
you know, watching where your boater's casting, you know, don't hit the same spot twice.
Yep. Don't take 200 casts when you can take 50 good casts. Like, it's not, you're not at the front of the boat where you have control over all the angles. You're just like, okay, well, this guy's probably not gonna hit. Okay, he didn't touch that, and you skip something back in there, and you know, like, that's I'm not very good at finesse fishing. I mean, I've tinkered around with it, like, but I'm imagining you got way better way quicker by being behind people like that. I mean, was that some merit to that?
Yeah, and I definitely think that, you know, being a co-angler attests to me at my skill level now, just because when you're stuck fishing behind someone and, you know, you're forced into techniques, because if they're going fast, you're not going to be able to sit there and flip a lightweighted plastic, you know, like you were used to back in the day.
Right.
You're going to have to adapt and learn how to, you know, fish fast and power fish. And so over the last, you know, 5 years that I've been, you know, co-angling in the bigger tournaments, it's really forced me into techniques that initially I wasn't comfortable with. And now I've been able to, you know, do that and make them my own. So I become really versatile just because of co-angling, really.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, no, you definitely, and it, you know, most guys I'm assuming are pretty like generous and tell you stuff and talk, but you know, have you run into anybody that just doesn't talk or doesn't say anything, doesn't really key in on stuff like that?
Yeah, I've had a couple of boaters that were pretty tight-lipped. I know before the tournament, the night before the meeting, I typically kind of try to talk to them and get an idea of what speed we're fishing at, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had guys even lie to me and tell me the techniques that they were going to use, and I would rig up for that, and then we'd go out and you know, would come the next day and we wouldn't do any of the things he told me we were going to do. So some of those guys are pretty tight-lipped and pretty worried about what's going to be said.
Well, yeah. No, so, I mean, I can understand that. But it's just like, then just say, well, you'll find out tomorrow. Don't tell you something wrong on purpose. Like, that, to me, that's just stupid.
I waste all that time rigging up, and now I got to waste the time in the morning to re-rig when we get to our first spot.
Right. I mean, you'd almost rather say, well, just have a bunch of lines with nothing on it so you can just tie up right away in the morning or something, you know.
Exactly.
I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
I suppose you don't want...
For the most part, I really...
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
For the most part, I really... I ran into a lot of good guys.
Yeah.
I actually had the chance in the Super Tournament last year to fish with the X-Elite Series guy, Jimmy Johnson.
Oh, nice.
And
from lacrosse.
So that was a really cool experience. I mean, I learned a lot, you know, just in one day of fishing with him. It was pretty amazing, some of the techniques he was using.
Yeah.
He's from lacrosse, that, you know, right? I would never... Yeah, in lacrosse, yeah. That was in mid-September.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Man. Generally guys are going to be good, I think. I remember watching one tournament where it was, you know how, like, the old Bassmaster Opens, well, not the Opens, but, like, the old tournaments on the BASS side where they have co-anglers and stuff like that. I remember the tournament on the Kissimmee chain where Rojas weighed in like the 45.9 or 45 pounds, the 45 pound bag. I remember Grigsby was in second and he was just 25 pounds behind or something like that. And there was a picture of him with his co-angler on the trolling motor flipping and he's like pointing at a 10 pounder on a bed. Like he's just showing this guy, trying to get this guy. It's just like, it'd be cool to run into guys like that, but there's probably a lot of guys that are also don't want, I mean, I sure as hell, if I'm fishing a tournament, don't really want my guy catching fish that I was, if let's say you're working a bank, you're going to work it back the other way, and you catch a 5-pounder behind me, that's going to, I mean, it's going to play with my head too, but you had, ultimately, we're both fishing a tournament.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny that you mentioned that because, a friend of mine, Caleb Kapal, he was the angler of the year on the border side for the BFLs the last 2 years running. And so I pre-fish with him every now and then, you know, and we go out and he'll tell me, he's like, I don't want to draw you tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, I want to draw you. You're awesome.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want you to stick my fish.
Right.
So,
oh yeah.
Yeah. Some of them get worried, but you know, I have had guys that are like, you know, we're going to kind of do this. We're going to work this technique. You know, and I've had guys, you know, say throw in there. I know you'll whack a keeper in there. So it really depends, and that's cool. Kind of, it's like opening, you know, a Christmas present every night before the meeting. You end up meeting this new guy, and you never know what's going to happen the next day. So it's kind of that anticipation that's pretty cool about that side of the sport.
It is definitely nice, and I mean I've heard good things like from you, and bad things from, you know, the guys that fish the Rayovacs, and like it just seems like it's a. You really need to bounce. You gain a lot of, like, knowledge either way. You know what I mean?
Right.
If it was a bad experience, or it was a good experience.
Yeah, exactly. You either learn, you know, what not to do, or you know what to do, you know, next time.
It's just such a hard puzzle to put together when you don't have control of where you're putting the pieces. Like
yeah,
it's really hard
to say.
Don't
get me wrong. I had a great year last year. But, you know, along with that third and those two firsts, I also had like an 89th and a 75th.
Yeah, well,
you know,
right.
And because I ran into those situations. I ran into a guy who fished the same 100-yard stretch in lacrosse the entire day.
Yeah.
You know, and we never left.
Yeah. Well,
so, you know, stuff like that, it happens. That's part of co-angling, you know.
Right. And then that same guy, you know, you could have fished a different 100-yard stretch and caught 200 different fish, because that's how the Mississippi River works.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I've told you about the time that I'd parked on a spot for two straight days and I caught probably 75 off of one log.
Right.
Know, just casting a frog, doing the same exact cast every single day. And it'd have been a nightmare for a co-angler because the spot was the size of a tire.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, it wasn't big. So, you know, that would be like, oh, well, because I had a kid with me the second day and I'm like, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to catch my 15 pounds and then we'll mess around and you can do what you got to do, because it was just such a specific, it was the same cast. And, you know, my co-angler is screwed, but at the same time, it's like, well, I also going for more money. I'm, you know, controlling the boat. And, you know, it was, eventually I let him just keep fishing because we just cracked them. But
right. That, and that happens a lot of times too. There's a lot of guys who, like, especially like early season, you know, a lot of guys that are bed fishing.
Oh, right. I couldn't even imagine that.
So, you know, someone's bed fishing and here you are sitting in the back of the boat, you know, it's like, well, I know where the fish are, but I have no chance at it.
Right. That point you just throw, at that point, it depends on what lake it is, but I would always have a Senko and always have a shaky head, because you just cast the Senko around and you're going to catch them regardless of where you are.
Yeah. And I always try to have a search bait tied on, you know, knows on the river, a swim jig is a really popular
bait.
So if you get around those flats where they're spawning, you know, if you can reach out and kind of fan cast with something like a swim jig, that can help you too. So
the thing is with bed fishing, they're going to be fish cruising, and there's never any time period in the entire season where there's every single fish is doing the same thing. Like,
right. They're always in different stages,
especially in transition. Like when the summer hits and when they're all in their summer pattern, that's one thing. But like when it's like the transitionary time, there's always fish in pre-spawn, there's always fish post-spawn, there's always fish spawning at some stage. So, you can't just say, well, he's bed fishing, I'm fucked.
Right.
I'm not doing anything.
Yeah, no, and you see that, you know, in the tournaments and the transition times, you know, there's one guy who goes out and he whacks the post-spawners, and there's another guy who catches all of his fish on beds, and then there's another guy who catches them in pre-spawn spots.
Yep.
So there's always fish to be caught. You just got to... You have to have an open mind, and you have to have confidence. I guess that's probably the biggest thing I can say about co-angling, honestly. To be honest, in the one that I won, as well as the one I took third in, I did not have a fish in the box until noon.
Yeah.
So that's an absolute head game with, you know, 2.5-3 hours left in the day, and you haven't put a fish in the box. And as a co-angler, it's tough to get a limit all day, let alone a limit in a couple hours.
Right.
And so just like anyone else, I guess, you got to keep your head down and fish all day long. Don't get discouraged, you know, just keep on fishing.
I brought this up with a guy that I've on the last podcast. You know, how important those stupid Monday and Tuesday night leagues are, because to me, those things have put me in such a different mindset, because it doesn't matter what time, you don't have a fish by noon. Like, you have 3 hours, right. That's it. And
yep.
And I'm like sitting there thinking, if it's noon and I don't have a fish, I'm like, well, I still have 3 full hours. I've done it a million times where I've put 20 fish in the boat in 2 hours. You know what I mean? So
right, those, exactly. Those things are, that's so what you have beneficial, to do.
I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I this whole thing, what I'm doing here, is just basically just new wave type of stuff, like doing things that, you know, you don't really hear too often. And I just wanted to get your like opinion, because you're like tatted up a little bit, and you're kind of a different dude. And like, do you think that there's room for marketing someone who's a little off the wall or has tattoos or something like that? Because it's definitely the guard is changing, I feel like, in fishing, where there's a lot more acceptability. What with like a lot more, you see a lot more black anglers, you see a lot more guys that just have a strange quirks to them, and those are some things that I think are starting to become more marketable and stuff like that. Guys that have many different, you know, odd characteristics or strained guys get marked. The marketability is there, I think. And do you feel same way, obviously?
Yeah, I think, I mean, especially like me having tattoos, you know, obviously there's the stereotype, you know, a lot of people see that and they immediately assume, you know, always a thug or he's,
right.
You know, uneducated or whatever. So you have to be able to represent yourself well and right. Sell yourself. I can't tell you how many times I've approached, you know, a owner of a company or, you know, a pro staff director. And, you know, I can see the look on their face when I walk up, and then all of a sudden we've been talking for 10 minutes, and you can tell their perception's completely changed.
Oh, that's exactly it. And you so, know, I've told this story before, but I remember I had, like, a fitted hat on one time, and, you know, I have my goofy glasses, and I was in class, and this guy in, you know, camo, we started talking about fishing, and he just immediately put me off because of the way I looked, and I'm like, no, right. Dude, I actually can fish.
Yeah, I think there's definitely room in the industry too. And like you said, I think it's changing. I think, you know, Iaconelli, with his, you know, in the at least in the elite level, with his antics and, you know, how crazy he is and how wild he is and his kind of attitude, I think he kind of paved the way for that.
Right.
And, you know, he has a huge fan base, obviously. Well, and so
you've ever met him. I mean, I've never met him, but like from what I perceive, he's like the nicest guy ever. Like from what I hear.
And yeah,
he's so good with like youth angling, and you know, just his Ike Live podcast that he's doing is really awesome. I don't know if you've listened to it yet, but it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I have.
So I mean, you know, he's marketable because, like you said, he comes up and he represents himself well, and he can speak, and he can do all these things, and people think he's funny, and there's just a lot more room, I think, than those the Bubba fishing era, like from like the 60s to early 2000s, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And if you look at the, you know, the anglers now, I mean, obviously bass fishing is bigger now than it has ever been. You know, there's a lot of small clubs that are starting,
right.
you know, now you have the high school teams where guys can get started, and, you know, as freshmen in high school, 14 years old, they're able to get into a club, you know? So I think now that they're getting to that lower level, and like I said, you know, the days are changing. There's a lot of people where, you know, tattoos are acceptable. The wild, crazy black hair is acceptable.
Right.
And I think, yeah, it's just a seamless transition that, you know, those things are going to end up becoming acceptable in sports that are allowing, you know, that transition. So, yeah.
I mean, can you sell my stuff? Can you talk? And are you a good fisherman? Like, that's pretty right. much, they don't say, oh, what do you look like? I mean, obviously some people that are more, have a more marketable face. It's just, that's just the way it goes. And, you know, got a good looking guy. It's different than, you know, some guy that might be at a little bit more of an advantage, but I do think that. Is definitely the. I mean, there is no. I don't think there's much prejudice anymore, besides from some people. And you know, if some people have prejudices, I don't want to work with them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
If somebody's gonna just judge me based off of way I look, I'm not gonna sell their product. I just don't want to. I don't want to deal with them.
Yeah, and I think. I mean, I honestly believe that there's a lot of companies in the fishing industry in general, not only in bass fishing, that. You know, a lot of their pro staffs are racially dominated by, you know, by white or, you know, they're only, you know, higher corporate guys who own their own businesses, you know, and I think that a lot of those companies fail to realize that there's a market. Would they, you know, actually look and bring in different people that they would be able to tap into that they haven't even scratched the surface of yet?
Well, look at Ish. I mean, Christ, his crankbaits are named after a notorious B.I.G. song.
Right. Right.
There's definitely a market for it. And, you know, those people that are just prejudiced towards it is just like, well, you know what? You're going to die in the weeds just like a lot of companies have folded because they don't see the grandiose scheme of like the visions that this is like, wait, you know what? I'm marketable. Just chill. Just listen to me for a little bit.
Right. And yeah, those companies, they have to learn to, you know, adapt and overcome, and they have to go, you know, with the direction that society does to some extent, you know, and if they don't, they will fall to the wayside. There's no doubt about that.
Oh yeah. And I use Reaction Innovations as a prime example. Their packaging has strippers on it. Their things are named after just marijuana strains and funny things. And just like, you know, they're like, I don't care. Look at us. We're so different that we're going to sell our product because we're different. And then you got something like the Sweet Beaver, who's just a phenomenal bait.
Right.
That, you know, it's like, well, they speak for themselves. And if them guys can bust into the fishing industry, I think anybody can. And I always use that. And, you know, I'm not even a huge believer. I use a couple of their products, but I respect their marketing tactics. Just be so off the wall and so different that, you know, people are just going to buy it. Just like, oh my God, look at how crazy these guys are. What are they thinking?
Right. Yeah. It's off the beaten path, and, you know, and they got really popular really fast and
very fast.
You know, like you said, that, you know, their plastics may not be poured with the best density but they have found a niche in the market, and they're able to take advantage of that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Like I said, I use some of their products, but it's just hilarious when you look at all their things.
Yeah, Kinky Beaver, Sweet Beaver.
double wide trailer.
California 420 colors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Dirty Sanchez.
Yeah,
it's a trip.
Oh, man. So what you got all planned for this year with all your tournaments?
Well, I'm running the TNT, the Tuesday Nighters, out here in the Waukesha County, so we'll be
doing, I'm aware.
Well, yeah, because you remember, we'll be running those, you know, on Pewaukee Lake and Nagawicca, and then I'm going to fish all the BFLs in the Great Lakes Division as a co-again this year. Hopefully next year I'll be transitioning into the boater spot, but it's just tough, you know, when you work a regular job,
it's
and
terrible.
If you can't get the vacation time to pre-fish, you're basically just donating your money.
Oh,
so,
exactly.
You know, until I can get enough vacation where I can go pre-fish for 3 days before every tournament.
Yep.
You know,
I wanted to start doing this, like write stuff, do podcasts, and just go fishing every day. And but you know, I take my boat to work because as soon as I'm done, I'm just right on the water, especially in the summer. And people don't really quite understand what we go through in the winter, where it's like we're so jonesing to go out. We got to make our, you know, get our time, get a lot out of it when we get done, you know,
right.
Get out there and fish.
It's not like we're down in, you know, the southern states. Those guys get to fish all year round. We're limited to a small percentage of the year. So you got to get it while it's good.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm also going to pick up, I figure, you know, since I did well in lacrosse last year, I'm going to fish the Rayovac in lacrosse in September.
Oh, that's solid. As a co-angler or a boater?
Not co.
Yeah. Lacrosse is cool. I mean, the Mississippi River is like definitely top three favorite bodies of water that I've ever fished.
Same here. It's awesome, man. You can go down a 100-yard stretch and, you know, pop, you know, 3-4 pound largemouth, and then, you know, and maybe 60 of them down one stretch. And then you go 100 yards down, and all of a sudden you pop a 4 pound smallie. And so it's an awesome fish here. I mean, the sheer numbers as well as the diversity in species is just awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lake like that around us that's pretty good with, diverse species in huge bags.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, I'm looking forward to that one this year.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, hey man, thanks a lot for just sitting here for, you know, we've been talking for almost 40 minutes, and I know it doesn't seem that quick, but if you want to plug some of your stuff, this is like time to do it.
Yeah, just want to throw out there just, you know, a couple.
Hold on a second, Jason, I think you're cutting out. Just 1 second.
My sponsors, Dobbins Rods.
Okay.
You know, they make an awesome rod. Hear me now?
Now you're good. Sorry.
All right, cool. So, yeah, just some of my sponsors here, you know, that I've had a lot of success with. BassAnglers.com. Yep.
The whole thing did not get recorded.
What the heck?
Yeah. Just 1 second. It just seems like once you start saying Dobbins Rods, it doesn't like Dobbins Rods, so it just cuts it out right away. All right, now try it.
All right. So, yeah, go check out Dobbins Rods at DobbinsRods.com. Also, DJ Custom Jigs. You can find them on Facebook. Custom Jigs out of Las Vegas, Nevada. Also, you can check out Army Bass Anglers at ArmyBassAnglers.com. You can go on there, and we actually have a couple of different nonprofit organizations that we work with and that we try to raise money for. So it's
do you guys work with the
cool deal? What we do is we have three different. Go ahead.
Yeah. Sorry, I was trying to ask a question, but go ahead.
No, so we have three different organizations that we kind of work for, nonprofits, and one's called Returning Heroes Home, and that one is kind of we raise money for this house that's down in San Antonio, and it's there for families to kind of recover with soldiers that are wounded in the war. So we raise money to help them, you know, maintain facilities, build new facilities. So it's a pretty cool program. Another one is Heroes on the Water, and that one's, you know, similar to that. It's a rehabilitative program, and it gets, you know, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans out, you know, on kayak trips in various different locations along the South. So it's pretty cool. It's therapeutic. You know, it's a good time for those guys to get out and relax after being overseas and, you know, enduring some of that stuff out there. And then, you know, they handle the water, and on the opposite side of that, we also have Veteran Outdoors, and they do kind of the same type of thing, but they take guys out on guided hunting trips. So we raise money, and we kind of put guys out there to do those things, and it's pretty cool to see the rewards and the benefits that those guys get, and you know how thankful they are to experience things like that after, you know, being in a war torn country for a year or more. So it's pretty cool.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah. Just email me like anything I could say. Like, I'll definitely plug that up on the podcast every once in a while, because that's super cool. Do you guys work with Wounded Warriors at all?
No, not directly. But we do work with similar,
yeah,
you know, similar organizations. We do. There's a couple tournaments that they run, actually, you know, across the country. One's Take a Soldier Fishing, and the other one is Fishing for Freedom.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. You know, they do a lot for veterans, and it's cool to see that return, you know. So those guys are usually really thankful. And yeah, also you can find them also. You know, they've been the ceremonial Bassmaster Classic launch boat for the last 5 years.
Cool.
That boat that takes off with the flag, that American flag wrapped Skeeter, that's an Army Bass Angler boat.
Oh, solid. Oh. Yeah, no, I mean, it's definitely great. If anybody can you donate on there and anything like that with money? Money is awesome. It's obviously going to help at all. But, I mean, to me, if you can find somebody that you know or something like that that's just returning, I think taking them out on the water is the most beneficial thing you can do. To me, I think money is great, and obviously, you know, everybody needs it. But to actually give somebody like an experience, I think is far better.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, and us as anglers, we know how therapeutic and how relaxing fishing can be. You know. But for someone who's never experienced it, to get them out there and to feel that thrill of, you know, catching a fish for the first time, or even just enjoying a sunset or a sunrise on the water, I think is huge for guys that, you know, I mean, for anyone really, but really for guys who have experienced a lot of rough times, you know, in a deployment, I think it helps them a lot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Preaching the choir.
So.
All right, man. Well, I'll catch you in like maybe, what, two weeks now? Or, well, no, three. When is our first tournament? 3 weeks?
Yeah, it'll be May 6th will be our first Tuesday nighter, and that'll be out on Nagawicca Lake.
Solid, dude. All right, man. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate everything that you talked about. Obviously, it doesn't take much to talk about fishing for 45 minutes, but...
Yeah, no problem, man. I'm glad. Thanks for having me on your podcast. I appreciate it.
For sure, dude. Peace out, man.
All right, later, dude.
All right, guys. That was Jason Brennick. Please, just check out the stuff that he's talking about. That's just, to me, that's just such an awesome thing that he's doing, that they're, all those programs are just so solid. So check it out. Just going to have to rewind the podcast to find out the things, because I'm not 100%, I don't remember. Short-term memory is not really that great. So please check that out. Or if you guys know anybody, just take them out fishing. It's the greatest thing in the world to do for somebody, you know, just a great thing to do to somebody. But as the podcast right now, as it stands... check out our website, please, and get yourself some AK rigs, because okay, if anybody, nobody knows Adam, I'm gonna have to get him on here. He's one of the most unbelievable. He's absolutely insane when it comes to like mad scientists and crazy things that he thinks up, and he's really, really good tackle modification and creating new lures and stuff like that. He's just unbelievable at it, and he's got, I don't want to drop the bomb right now, but he's got something coming out that's really, really crazy and nobody's ever done before. So hopefully he'll produce enough of them to sell them on the website. But otherwise, you guys can check them out, buy them off our website. And also, there's t-shirts on sale still. And then also, if you guys want to check out the podcast page, there's an Amazon.com logo. Click on that. And if you guys are doing any shopping on Amazon, 4-8% of the proceeds, you guys... Well, not proceeds, but the stuff that you guys buy, 4-8% of it goes directly to us. So, and you know, this is obviously a shameless little plug, but check that out if you guys use it. I would really appreciate it if you went through our website and kicked some money towards us. So thanks a lot for listening, guys. I'm gonna have another one here pretty soon, I think. Yeah. So that's about it. Peace out.